Praise God. We're studying the kingdom. The kingdom of God. We are studying the first resurrection. We're studying the second coming, second advent of Jesus Christ, and this will establish the kingdom of God. It will take the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came the first time, and he was born in a manger the first time, but the second time he's coming back, not as a babe, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to rule and to reign over the earth. That's what Jesus Christ, you just cannot stop it. Because in Acts the 17th chapter, verse 30-31, says that God, that's the Father, God the Father has appointed a day in the which that he will judge the world. Acts chapter 17, verse 30-31 said, in verse 30, it says that, and the times of this ignorant, notice, you see that word ignorant? That means you don't know. Okay, as Gentiles, we didn't know. It was a time of ignorance. You know, when before you went to school, you didn't know a lot of stuff, right? And some of us still don't know a lot of stuff. But he was saying there was a time of ignorance. There was a time when the people sat in darkness. And at the time of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, he's not winking anymore. He's holding us responsible. He's holding us responsible. God is not winking anymore. Okay? But now commendeth all men. He commended all men everywhere to repent. Okay? Then in verse 31 it says, because he, God, that's the Father, hath appointed a day. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. God is the judge. And he's going to judge the world through Christ. Amen. That's clear. He will judge the world, that's this world, this age, in righteousness. How is he going to judge it? In righteousness, that he gave every man according to his work. He will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he, God. It's all about God. See, he appointed the day. Remember Jesus said to the disciples when they asked him, he said it's in the Father's good pleasure. God appointed that day when Christ will return as judge of the world, and he will judge it in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance. Here's the assurance. Well, what is the assurance? How do you know that this word is true? How do you know that this word is true? Is Jesus alive? Did God raise him from the dead? Is Jesus Christ really alive today? Did he die? I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. So what is the assurance that we have today? That God has raised him from the dead. It's right there on the board. You just read that. You don't have to doubt or draw back. say that God had raised him from the dead. So we have this assurance today that Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the world in righteousness, in truth. And the kingdom will be established in righteousness. And God is raising up, God has raised up the Son of David. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 30. Luke, the first chapter in verse 30, 31, 32. All of that right there, you can read that. He says that, read it for me. Luke, the third, Luke, the first chapter, verse 30. Is it 31, 32? He shall be great. That's Christ. He shall be great, although he was born in a manger, but yet he shall be great, because God will exalt him. God has highly exalted him after the resurrection. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That means the one that appointed him. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, but he's also the Son of David in the flesh. He's a son of Abraham, son of David in the flesh, and he was born of a virgin. And the Lord God shall give, notice, not the devil. Devil could not give. Devil tried it. But the Lord God shall give unto him. What is God going to give him? The throne of his father David. God's going to give him the throne of his father, David. It's an earthly throne. Right now he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Stephen saw him there, but he's to leave that and to come back to the earth. And he's to set up or to sit upon David's throne that has been established by God for centuries. Remember, God chose David, that little boy, and made him a king. And from then, God made an offspring. God gave him in the, I think in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel, if you want to turn your Bibles there a little bit, in the, let me see, starting at what, verse 1. And these be the last words of David. These be the last words of David. If, you know, his last will and testament, everybody wants to hear that. What's the last will? What were the last words that they say, that he said? You were there when my father passed away. What I wasn't there. What did he say? Well, give me the last words, you see? And here are David's last words. And these be the last words of David. You see, you can find out. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed. Wouldn't you like to have a resume like that? Would you like to have it said about you like that? Yeah. Said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed. Hallelujah. The anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth. The God of Israel said, come on, David, just about this. Tell us what you... You see how he's using a lot of words and getting there? The rock of Israel spake by me. He that ruleth over men must be just. So that's why Christ is the ruler. And in Acts, the 17th chapter, he's coming back to rule the world in righteousness, because he that ruleth over men must be just. He must be a righteous king. And he that ruleth over men must be just. How should he rule? Ruling in the fear of God. And that's why every king was told Every king was told as soon as they took the throne that they should write a copy of the law for themselves and that they should meditate in it day and night. The same thing goes for the children of God. Like the Berean, they search the scriptures and they meditate. They remain in the apostles' doctrine. And yes, in Joshua, he says, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. Notice when you get on your feet, that's what we are trying to do, is that we are trying to keep the word of day with the word of God. Thy kingdom come. And this God's kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness. The first resurrection, he's coming back to judge the world and to the raise the dead. It will take the resurrection to establish the kingdom. See, there would not be a kingdom without the resurrection. And without the second coming, there would not be a kingdom. So to establish the kingdom of God, which is an everlasting kingdom. But he first reigned for, he must reign for 1,000 years and put all enemies under his feet. And then the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The last enemy that will be destroyed is second death. It's appointed unto man. But then there's also a death called the second death. And to be resurrected from the first death and then to find yourself dying again, the second death, because you would not make it right with God. So he goes on, he said that verse 4, he shall be as the light. Look at this. He shall be as the light. That's the man appointed by God. Wasn't Jesus Christ the light? He said, I'm the light of the world. See, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. That means the darkness of your mind. They were in darkness. We were you who were sometimes darkness, ignorance. But now are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. See, God needs to get this mind of Christ in us. See, but there's darkness there that God must remove it with the word of God. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And you who were sometimes darkness in your own ways, thoughts are not God's thoughts. And we had our thoughts. But the people saw a great light. And those in the regions of the shadow of death, second death, we had no light. We couldn't escape by ourselves. But Jesus Christ came and shined light upon our pathway. And now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he says that he shall be as the light of the morning. That's the morning of the resurrection. See, you have that morning of the resurrection where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more dying, for the former things are passed away. He shall be as the morning when the sun riseth. You remember that sun of righteousness? See, sun of righteousness would arise with healing, and the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. See, there's no more war clouds, no more clouds of death or sickness. Do you get that? That clouds, the dark clouds that was over us, it's gone. And now it's the sunshine. The light is shining. The true light now shine. The darkness is past and the true light now shine. See, it's a morning without cloud. That resurrection morning, it's there will be no more clouds. Jude speaks about the clouds, no water, clouds that was hanging over. But there will be no more clouds, no more false prophets, no more unrighteous and ungodly element to resist the word of God. It will be indeed a morning without cloud, as the tender grass. Look at that, new life, new life springing up, green pastures, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Well, what rain? The former and the latter rain. God promised to give us two rains in one season. The former and a lot of rain. God will cause bright clouds to rise up. In Zechariah, tells us, I think, the 10th chapter. And God will cause the destroyed in the barn. But God will cause the seeds to spring forth, because it will be a new order. And although David said right now, this prophecy that I'm telling you, it's for the future. Because David said, right now, my house, the present house that he had with Absalom and all of that, he said, it's not so. He said, I've got rebellion in the house. And a lot of you might have rebellion in your house. Children not serving God, relatives not serving God. But I want to give you a hope this morning from the word of God. That's not the end. That is not the end. He says, although my house be not so with God, my children won't go to church. They won't serve God. They don't love God. They don't get excited about the word of God. They're more excited about the word, the world. There's killing and all kind of stuff that was in David's family. See, but David said, although it does not, it's not going on in my present house, but he looked down the future and he see a house that God was going to give him, a house with righteousness, a house with without sin. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he had made with me an everlasting covenant. God doesn't go by how you look right now. If God was to do that, nobody would be saved. But God can see down the road. And God look on down the road. And here you are in darkness. But God looks down the road and see you in light. God looks upon how the father looks upon the prodigal son. See, the prodigal son was out there eating with the swines. But the father was always looking out for him. And when he returned, the father smelled anything from the swine of the world. But he loved him and put a ring and a robe upon him. That's where God, how God sees us. And he clothes us with the robe of righteousness. Hey, ordered in all things. David said, he made an everlasting covenant. And if you look at the covenant, it's an everlasting covenant that God made with David to promise him that his son, his seed, would sit upon the throne, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all. Hallelujah. This is all my salvation. Is that all you trusting in? The word of God, it's all my salvation and all my desire. Although he maketh it not to grow. That means right then, you look at the present, it didn't seem so. But look, what is a couple thousand years after, there came a son, a virgin, conceived from the house of David, a little girl, and bring forth a son. And the Lord God, the Bible said, and the Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David. God would give him that throne, David's throne, and he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he goes on, he said, but the sons of Belial, the sons of the devil, Belial, he said, shall be thorns thrust through, because they cannot be taken with hands. And that's what's in the church age. You have the sons of Belial in the church, and the pastors cannot handle it. It's not, the pastor doesn't have the strength. The ministry doesn't have the strength to do it. But he's coming back, one that sing and stand among the golden candlestick. There's coming back that testifies. There's coming back one whose hair is like wool, and his eyes are like flames of fire, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword, and his girdle with a golden girdle, and his feet are like brass. Let me tell you, he's coming back. Daniel and all those men saw him, and the Hebrew boys as the fourth man. See, and Daniel saw him as the Son of God, coming back with power and great glory, and reigning and setting up his kingdom. And he was brought to the Ancient of Days. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the man that should touch them, no, notice here, because they're thorns and thistles, nobody can touch them. But the man, there's a man who can touch them. A man who can get a hold of all the rebellion in the church, the thorns and the thistles and all of that. There's someone who can get a hold of it. And it says that the man who shall touch them must be fenced with iron. And he's raised up a staff of iron staff. To him that overcometh, will I make like an iron. He will rule them with a rod. See, why do the heathen rage? This man is fenced with iron because the ministry, it's iron, it's fenced, and it's strong. We stand with Jesus Christ and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. That's the second death. God is a consuming fire. Amen? Okay. Then he goes on and he gives you the mighty men and the mighty women of Faith Mission Ministries. Amen. You didn't see it up there? The mighty women and the mighty men? Okay, do you want to get your name up there? It's too late to get it in David, but you can get it in Faith Mission Ministries. All right. Okay, now here's a little lesson in Judges. Go to Judges, the 8th chapter. And you have Judges where it's a story about Gideon. Remember the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 8? Gideon was a wonderful, wonderful man, and he did many great things for God. And the Midianites, I'm telling you the story real short, so you can go over it yourself. And the Midianites were oppressing the people of Israel, and took away everything that they would produce. They had them in poverty, hiding when they threshed their wheat. So the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and says, you mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Chapter 7, where it is? Chapter 8, I said in Judges, a man of God. And then Gideon said, if the Lord be with us, how come we are in such trouble, in such problems, right? Let me tell you, you need to back up some more. When the angel came to him first in chapter 7, 6:12 says, and the angel of the Lord, Judges chapter 6, verse 12 says, 6, verse 12, read it, says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Verse 13. And Gideon was surprised. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. But you see, God never forsook them. They forsook God. You know, like we get in trouble and say, God, where are you? Why didn't you? No, it's you. And you need to take the blame. But we blame God. We put it on God. Well, where were you when I needed you to help me? You weren't listening. And you didn't want to listen. And you still don't want to listen. And you need to face up with responsibility and take the blame and don't blame God. See, do not blame God or charge God for folly. So he says that the Lord look upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And next verse, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I said, don't you feel like that sometimes? Okay, you're the least. Verse, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He said, I'd like to see a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth a present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou comest. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. You know the story. Made a kid, and he brought it out, cakes and soup brought, and he brought it out, and he set it under the oak, and he presented it. Now the angels did not eat the food. He did not. But look at it. He says, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay it upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hands, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire, read on, out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of the sight. He ascended into the flames. He didn't eat it, but he touched it with his staff, and fire came up out of the rock, which was a type of Christ. That Christ is the type there. Next verse. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not. He thought he was going to die. But he said, the Lord said, you're not going to die. Next verse. Then notice here, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Anybody know what that means? Jehovah Shalom? The Jehovah, the Lord, my peace. Okay. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And build an altar. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take the fathers. No, God was going to give him an assignment. Okay? Before God use you, you're going to have to deal with your family. And that's the last one you want to deal with. Your family. Amen. You can never be effective unless you first deal with your family. Now here. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the 7 years old, and notice, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had and cut down the grove that is by him. He said, go tear up your father's idols. Now that was not easy. He had to make a choice. And the Lord said, right there, I want you to build me an altar. Tear that down, all of those altars, and build me an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. You cut down their groves and you offer up, and you use the wood for a burnt offering. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servant and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, scared. But he did it by night. I don't care. Don't do it by day, but you can do it by night. How do you do it by night? With your knees, on your knees. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, what happened? Behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar, that was built. He did it. So what? Let's go on to the next verse. Then they saw that the church, the altar, their religion was torn up. And they begin to find out who did it. And they found out it was, that Gideon had done it.
The son of Josh
had done it. Verse 29. And they said one to another, who had done it? Who had done it? And when they had inquired and asked, son of Josh did it, the son of Gideon, the son of Josh. Next verse. Then the men of the city said unto him, to Josh, bring out thy son that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the grove that was more than. Everybody begin to turn against you because you did. You see, you're not going with their religion anymore. Remember, you were one time a part of it, but now you have found the truth. And you're walking in the ways of God. And boy, they're wondering why you're doing all these things and they ought to get you. 31. Joash said unto all that stood by him. Focus now. Will you plead for Baal? In other words, are you going to defend that idol up there? That statue that was torn down? Will ye save him? He that will plead for Baal, let him put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, if he was a god, notice in lower G, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar. Therefore, On that day, he called him Jeroboam, saying, let Baal plead against him because he had thrown down his altar. See, you don't have to defend that idol. If they're real, they'll defend themselves. That's what he's saying. Amen. You don't have to defend it. The religion. If it's real, like Elijah said, if God be God, serve him. And let's see the God that answers by fire. Is there another verse? Then all the Midianites and the Israelites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But this, notice what happened, the change that comes in his life. But the Spirit of the Lord, When did it come? After he tore down his altar, all those altars, came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and in Abiezer was gathered after him. Next verse. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, he needs another sign, okay? Down the road you're going to find out. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, verse 37. Read on. I will put a fleece in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. That's awesome. Then he needed another sign. And Gideon said, God, that was good, but you know, I need another sign. Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Praise God. I want you to pause there, and I want Joy to come and sing a song for me. Amen. Come on, Joy. I'm going to come back. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. You ready for church? Gideon. You want to go back to Gideon? You ready, Rosie? Praise God. All right. We were back in Judges, part two of Judges, verse 39. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 39. Then Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon all the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. You remember the first time was, if you back up, the lesson a while ago was the fleece, right, was wet. Okay, the fleece was wet, and help me. And the ground was dry. And he wrung the fleece out, and there was a bowl full of water. The next day, he wanted some more confirmation that God was with him, that God was sending him. So he said, Lord, tonight, when I put it out, let the ground be dry. Help me read it. Let it be dry only upon the fleece, but let the ground round about it be wet with dew. And God did so. Notice. And God did so that night. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm putting out my fleece? You ever heard that phrase? Or if you've been in church, you'll hear, I have a fleece out. That means they want to be sure if God is in what they're doing, if God's approving it. If you've been in church, you'll hear that. It's called a fleece. So that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all around the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harold. My name, I'm in there. Yes, somebody forgot the hell, but. Do you see my name in there? Wow. Did you know that it was in there? That's me. H-A-R-O-L-D. Just put there, that's me. So that the hills of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee. No, it's a lot of reading, but you got to get this to get the lesson. Or to get where what I'm trying to head to, okay? The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine, the Lord didn't do it, we did it. See, we had the finances, we had the people, we had the staff, we did it. We can evangelize the world, we can just do it. But it's in your darkest hour, your weakest moment, when you're helpless, have a little strength, that you find out how real God is. This poor man cried unto the Lord. When you're down, when you're in sickness, when you're all by yourself, When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, do you know God becomes so real?
Yes.
He's your shepherd. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? It's the next chapter, right? Chapter 7. Now therefore, go to proclaim the in the ears of the people saying, all right, notice. He said, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him go on back home. The one that are fearful, let him go on back home. Let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and they return to the people 22,000, and there was only 10,000. You say, oh my, the church is finished. We're destroyed. Look, we ain't got nobody. How many don't God can save by many or by few? Now, verse. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Wow. 20-something went home. 1,000 went home. And the Lord said, there's only 10,000. Said, they're going to fight the Midianites. The Lord says, it's still too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, not go with thee, the same shall not go. Next verse. So he brought down the people unto the waters. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that, notice, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by themselves. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. All right, this is very, very technical and very important. Ones that he wanted to go and fight. So they went down to the water. How many know it's the water of the word that's going to do the proving? How many know it's important how you drink it? And the first group went down and they begin to lap like a dog. What did they do? They would take the water up, right? In their hands. Help me. And they, have you ever seen a dog? Huh? But let's get it right. But the next group just came up and they fell on their knees. It says that. Upon their knees. They just went down on their knees. They fell on their knees. And what happened? Are you okay, Kobe? They fell on their knees and they begin to drink. When they fell on their knees, you know why? What God was showing? What the Lord was showing right there? What the Lord was showing? Here is the one that fell on their knees. Throw away their weapons. Fell on their knees. That's the way they did to Baal. Idol worshippers. And they couldn't get it out of them. But here was another group that fell down and begin to, I'm trying to get it right, and begin to lap like a dog. When you scoop up like a dog, here's a group that was able and that was eating out of the hand of the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Scoop it up. And there was a hand, like the hand that rose up out of the cloud, out of the sea. A ministry. Are you following me? That to eat out of the hand of the ministry, your pastor, the ministry, and not independently, doing it yourself. Throw away the armor and begin to drink on their knees, like the way they worship Baal. 6 says, follow me. And the number of them that laugh, putting their hands to their mouth. Remember I told you? Did I just say that? Were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bow down their knees like they were doing it before either. They never got that out. You cannot fool God. God said, put them down the water and I'll show you who is sincere. We'll see who's drinking the ministry out of the ministry. Like I told you about this little young man that was home, but he was listening. And probably somebody was here and not even listening. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap. Come on, help me. The 300, are you lapping today? Are you doing your own thing? Whose hands are you drinking out of? It's very important. Well, I'll not submit. I'll just do my thing. Are you lapping? By the 300 that lap it, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all, hello, the other people, let them go on home. Let every man go on back home. But 300 was going to go to battle against thousands of Midianites. God can save by many as by few. This powerful lesson, that's why I'm going slow. So the people took victory in their hands and trumpets. And he sent the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent and retained. Notice, he retained the 300 men and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. There was a big host, but he had 300. Anointed, that was feeding on the word. They didn't come with their own ideas. They didn't come with their own thoughts. They didn't come. So the people, next verse, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, arise and get thee down, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Let's go forward now. He said, if you're afraid to go down, then the Lord said, I'm going to have another sign. Take your servant and go on. And when they went over the camp, they heard the soldiers, the Midianite soldiers, talking about, they were also afraid of Gideon. Let's keep on down to, so Gideon fought this battle. I'll pick it up later, but Gideon fought this battle and he won. Okay, he won by 300 men. But here's what the Lord did. They took lamps. Follow, I need that part. And they put it in a pitcher. And verse 16. And he divided the 300 men. Notice that. Into three companies. 100, 100, and 100. And he put a trumpet. Are you listening now? He put a trumpet in every man's hand with, notice, empty pitchers and lamps within the pitcher. What if they had their pitchers all crowded with ideas and stuff? They emptied out. Because God wants to put a light in you. But you've got to empty out everything that's inside of you. And then he's going to give you a trumpet. And he said unto them, look on me. See the example? Look at me. And do likewise. Look at me. But what am I doing? I'm writing every day about the kingdom. Every day about the resurrection. Every day about the second coming. Look at me and do likewise. Read it. Eat it. Take it out. Drink that water. Every day. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do the same. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. 18. When I blow with a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, what? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But you know what? There's a lot of people that say, oh, and that's why Jesus teach me. Jesus is the one that teaching me. But they will not admit that the pastor is the one that God is using. They don't mind saying Jesus. But the ministry. But notice, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. You have to eat out of somebody's hands. A ministry. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had newly set the change of watch, and they blew the trumpet and break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpet and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their hand, their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hand to blow with all. And they cried, what? Everybody shout. And they cried, what? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they cried, what?
The sword,
Of the Lord and of Gideon. That's powerful. And they, notice, and they stood every man in his place. They didn't run about, brother, let me. They stood. They were following order round about the camp. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled. They're running away. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Beth Shitta in Zarephath and into the borders of Abel Meholah and Tabak. You see, they run away. And then while they were running away, they were killing each other. Sometimes we try to fight the battle ourselves when God always just wants us to watch how he defeats our enemies. God wants you to watch how he gives you the victory, but you want to fight. When the Jehoshaphat, the Lord told him, say, you shall not need to fight. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. Next verse, is it? And the men of Israel gathered together, themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and so on, Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Okay, let me go on down. Chapter 8. Okay, because that's where I'm heading. That's why, but I have to give you the background, because a lot of us don't read the Bible. We don't know the background story. Oh, God took up this man and used him mightily. Okay, but go down to verse chapter 8 and verse. Okay, go all the way down to verse 23, because I'm only in 7. It's a beautiful story, but time's sake. All right, Gideon won the battle, okay? Now they wanted to make king. They wanted to make Gideon king. Are you following me now? I'm way ahead of myself, so you can read it. Because I really want to get to. Now, after Gideon won, they wanted to make Gideon a king. Okay? They wanted to make Gideon a king. So Gideon says unto them, all right, back up to verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, you getting the sense? Rule us. Say, we want you to have a dynasty, but you and your sons after them, continue also. For thou hast delivered you all to rule over us now. Okay? Then verse 23 now, this is important, verse 23, it says, What does it say? I will not. Help me. I will not rule over you. Why not? Why not? I will not rule over you, and my sons shall not rule over you. But who's going to rule over you? The Lord shall rule over you. That's where I wanted to get to all this time. That's where I wanted to get to all this time. I won't rule over you. But the Lord, he shall rule over you. He's going to be your king. And Jesus is the Lord that God has appointed, like I told you before when I started to tell you, of God appointed a day and a man, a king, to sit upon the throne of David. He's the one that is to rule and reign. So it's not Gideon, it's not his sons, it's not a man, but it's the Lord will be your ruler. The Lord will be your king. So who's the one that's ruling over you today? The Lord. He will be your ruler. He will reign over you. And Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and to reign over the house of Jacob. And God says, though the heathen rage and the people were moved and imagine a vain thing, yet have I set my king upon my holy mountain, save the Lord. And I will pick it up tonight if the Lord let me. Amen? It's a good place to stop. I won't rule over you. And nobody else is going to rule over you. But we already have a ruler. God has a ruler. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Did you get blessed today?